Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the African Knowledge Beyond the Book meeting. I'm your moderator, facilitator, Charles Williams. And my lovely wife, Jalavez, on the wheels of steel, keeping it real.
What's up?
Oh, yay, yay.
Yay, yay.
Back another week to feature Ms. Neely Fuller's book, United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept, a textbook workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of racism, white supremacy.
Yes.
Yes.
That. Brother Amin is on the line. Hey, Brother Amin, what's going on?
What's up?
We're halfway through the book, the main body of the text. tonight's feature is law. So Neely Fool is going to share with us from his book, Jurisprudence as it relates to combating racism. This is a longer chapter than the last, so we'll still try to take as much time as we can to go through it slowly enough to expound upon material appropriately, because it needs attention.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So, Mr. Fuller says right here on page 91, for everyone who has a copy, you turn to page 91 of this scripture. Scripture really just literally just means writing.
Right.
Right has no reference to something being sacred or profane or whatever. But anyway, he says on page 91, in the event you willfully and deliberately put to death any racist or any suspected racist, you should then eliminate yourself before being forced to commit any act of violence or bodily harm against any people who are not racist or suspected racist, but who are directly or indirectly sent by a racist to maim, kill, or put you in greater confinement, that is, jail. His explanation follows. As long as racism is the dominant motivating force among the people of the known universe, every effort should be made to avoid violent conflict between anyone who is not a racist. It is also correct to avoid conflict with racists. If it is at all possible to do so while trying to reveal truth and are trying to promote justice or correctness. Continues. To kill is a serious and terrible act. No animal, person, insect, or any other generally recognized animate or alive as animate or alive should be killed for any reason other than establish or to maintain justice. He said, for kill for any other reasons or to consider killing for any other reason is to help the animals and whatnot of the known universe in a state of incorrectness that exists. He said, no person should seek, find, or willfully, deliberately put to death any other person without also putting him or herself to death. No person should willfully seek, find, and deliberately end the existence of another person without ending his or her own life. Eliminating one's own existence after willfully and deliberately eliminating the existence of another person is just and correct. So, according to Mr. Fuller, everybody who commits murder should then commit suicide. It was sounding like even in the first paragraph, but of his commentary, yeah, it's a little, I think it's a little not very clear, but I think he's saying they have to be a confirmed racist.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular paragraph, he wasn't saying that the person had to be confirmed racist. This is they just killed somebody. That's what he's just saying. But they, you know, thought that were that noble to follow his advice, they wouldn't be reading his book. And even if they are, they probably don't care, because they probably just want that person dead without regard to racism being a motivating factor. You know, but... And we'll go on. He says, the victim of racism does... I was trying to skip ahead, but I'm just going to another section, because it is quite long. And I don't particularly find his commentary on that very interesting. Yeah, it's kind of boring. I think he could edit that down because it's gone on too long. When non-white persons do anything that is unjust or incorrect, do not comment without explaining that under white supremacy, it is the white supremacists and only the white supremacists who are responsible for what was done. His commentary is, white supremacists are the smartest and most powerful people in the known universe. White supremacists is unjust and incorrect. Therefore, nothing unjust happens among people of the known universe unless white supremacists cause it to happen and are allowed to happen. Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah. They pretty much set everything in motion. You know. you know, for it's the new paradigm for all, basically all criminal behavior. So there was criminal behavior before there was white supremacy, but to our chagrin, it does not really, it's not functional. Have crime outside of white supremacy. So, there you go. He says, avoid helping any person whom you suspect may be a racist. Do not do anything against another person unless the other person is doing and or is attempting to do something that is obviously unjust or incorrect. There's no commentary on that one. I thought that was pretty good. He says, kill only those persons that you know should be killed and who should be killed by you in order to promote justice. This one does not have the suicide clause on it. Meaning that what Manila Fuller is saying here is that make sure the person that you're putting down guilty, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Have your facts in order. Can it be? That's got to be beyond a reasonable doubt. You got to have all the goods. There's no way out, and the person should be put down. Anybody have anything want to say about that?
Mm-mm.
Not really.
Yeah, about time somebody spoke on putting down criminals. Neither did it. Oh. It says on page 97, try to eliminate the harm that people deliberately do each other by exchanging views with people in such a manner that understanding is best promoted and their conflict is minimized. His commentary, if minimizing conflict by exchanging views fails, then try to minimize non-constructive contact with persons who deliberately seek to do harm to yourself and or others who seek to promote justice. If you cannot avoid non-constructive involvement with persons who willfully and deliberately seek to do harm to you and others who seek to promote justice, you should then try to stop them from using their using the most effective means. Right. No, keep them away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from them. Stop talking to them. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
It says, blame the white supremacists for all unjust acts that victims of white supremacists, that is, non-white people, commit against one another. That means all black-on-black violence based upon white supremacists. Ergo, white people are responsible for, white supremacists, that is, racists, are responsible for all black-on-black violence. So people who say, oh, the white man didn't shoot, the white man is responsible for that because the system of racism that he put in place ate itself hate. And they maintain, they're the curators of the black self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why you hate yourself and kill yourself is because they want you to.
Mm-hmm.
Not only they want you to, it ain't just a desire that they have. They actually put the psychological motivations in motion for you to, and gives you the means to carry it out. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
Mm-mm.
I would say they create the environment for black on black crime. They create and maintain the environment.
Right. Right. Create it and maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then, so that's it. Here on page 99, he says that we should speak and or act to use law only in such a manner that justice is promoted. Do not under any circumstances speak and or act in a manner that law is promoted, but justice is opposed or ignored. My commentary is that the law and justice are not synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Tend to be law should be synonymous with justice, but it didn't have to be. Law is just basically a rule. It can be just and it can be unjust. It's irrespective of rightness or correctness. So, Fuller goes on, explains it further here. Says, laws change, but justice remains the same. Laws are made and unmade. Laws are sometimes promoted, sometimes opposed, sometimes ignored. Justice, however, is constant. A correct law is made for one purpose, to help promote and produce justice, in order to produce correctness, in order to provide peace. Any law that is used in such a manner as to promote injustice is a non-law. What does that mean? That means when you see or hear of a law that is unjust, that means it shouldn't be considered legal or in your mind. That means you should not obey it. You should have a moral directive inside of you that does not want to obey, follow, submit to rules that are self-destructive. So if you follow a self-destructive law, basically you're committing suicide. And you shouldn't do it. And you're a fool for doing it and thinking any other way. That's my addition there.
Dare I say Trayvon Martin?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, his father is following a law that has nothing to do with justice.
Right.
So he's asking for justice, but he's asking for it when there's a law. The guy is free because of the law.
Right.
Yeah, which is different than
And else I can say, it's legal. And you'll hear black attorneys and law and policemen or whatever, and they'll say, "Well, it's the law, so we got to do that." Well, okay, then you have to, because that means that those persons are bent. They mean bent, perverted, wicked. And to the point so badly that they will destroy their own. I think it was a guy. I think you remember this. During the Katrina flood, it was some sheriff or a police guy or something. I think his mother needed rescuing, and he was able to do it, but he didn't do it because his boss man, master boss, told him that he could not send relief for his mama.
That's correct.
And she died.
Right. She was in a nursing home, I believe it was, or hospital.
In a nursing home. I would have paid some dudes out of my own pocket to go and get her off the record. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Give them a couple grand, whatever. They got the money.
Well, in there,
I'll catch you later. Go on in there. We ain't finna listen to Master Ball. Screw him. I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
He let us listen to her die. That was a black man. That's the boss just wanted to see how stupid he was. Really gonna do that?
Would his boss have left his mother?
His boss wouldn't have asked him nothing. He just did it.
He just did it.
Right, he would ask him, "Well, can I go get my mother, boss man?" Matter of fact, if he told him no, he'd have killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he would have done.
Yeah.
To blow his head off. I can't believe you're going to tell me something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he would have done. You know, but we don't think like that. That's why we slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Think like slaves. We act like slaves. We do things that slaves do.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder why they treat you like that, because you keep acting like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you were subverting, acting like it, but doing something else, now that's a different story. I personally, you know, name being the way I think, I would have just said, "Oh yeah, I can't do that. Ooh, against the aliens, so we don't do this thing." I would say one thing and do another.
Mm-hmm.
This is how
I'll
turn my radio off. Well, I would send somebody else to handle. Oh, I would go on that mission with them. I don't gotta go to the bathroom. I got diarrhea. I'll be gone for a couple of hours. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Anything. I come up with something. You know? You know, but that's how we do. That's crazy. He says, further, he says, make a major effort to avoid being put into greater confinement, that is, jail, prison, small, inadequate areas. I mean, you know, it's like ghettos, whatever, tenement buildings, that kind of thing that they try to put you in. He says, avoid doing anything that you have a reason to believe may result in you being put into greater confinement. That's right. I tell folks anytime I can to avoid greater confinement.
Mm-hmm.
Country, go underground, become a hobo, train hopping, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
In a social material system, his commentary says, in a social material system dominated by racism, all non-white people are confined, retarded, and restricted in thought, speech, and action in all places, at all times, in all areas of activity. Too many victims of racism spend too much time and energy in greater confinement. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We in some kind of school, jail, or job.
All the same thing.
Oh, same thing. Ooh, jail and some job. It's like, you know, we work hard to get a job, trying to get some money, get the job, and then hate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because we know what we're hating. It's not that we don't like work. Hey, everybody want to make a living. I've had jobs that I like, and I've had jobs that I hated. The jobs that I like always afforded me a freedom. And I felt like I was being compensated adequately for what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Felt satisfied without, you know what I mean? I felt that I was being respected by my colleagues and superior officers. And when I didn't feel like I was getting that, I didn't like that job.
Mm-hmm.
That the work was humiliating, degrading, you know? I didn't like it, and I sought means to leave. But the sad truth is, those are the most career opportunities for black folks.
Yep.
Jobs that give us that. And so, we don't have a strong enough economic structure to create jobs for other people. You know, some people maybe can to a greater degree than others. But I think the least that we all can do is to try to create some for us or in our household.
Mm-hmm.
At least try to do that. We'd have done something positive in that regard by creating great economic independence and kind of like get outside of this at prison type confinement thing, which he's speaking of in this particular segment. He says, too many jails, prisons, concentration camps, etc. are established for the basic purpose of warehousing non-white persons, including many of the unborn, meaning pregnant women. And if you just, you know, that's what they're doing. They warehouse us. And for the life of me, I don't see why they're, well, I guess I do know this. Well, we know why. We keep submitting to it because we don't feel like we deserve or we haven't done whatever we should do, which we all know we're supposed to do. Supposed to turn from this behavior that is destructive, this spiritual corruption, and get on the righteous path. So since we won't do that, we'll be taking our punishment.
We don't understand the righteous path.
Yeah, we don't understand the righteous path, and then we sit around and figure out, I don't know why this happened. You know why it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody subconsciously knows. They know what should be done. They know how to behave, but they are unwilling because, you know, they're not ready to, you know, make the commitment that it takes to throw off the yoke of oppression. Now, he said, and the white supremacists know in a world system based upon racism requires that substantial numbers of non-white people be greatly restricted in their movements from place to place. White supremacists restrict the movements and activities of non-white people so as to keep them idle and or keep them from becoming constructively self-sufficient. right? You out there here, you might invent something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that there's no inventions taking place in prison, but the ability to value those inventions and to share them, the technological transfer from, you know, one group to another is severely limited. I mean, I can't imagine how many people in prison are inventing things and they're not taking their technology and sharing it with people in the, on the outside as a public domain style technology. Instead, they probably get out of jail, throw it all away, and say, hey, I don't need that anymore. That's prison engineering. That's the real creativity. The racist makes certain that substantial numbers of non-white people exist under conditions that will most likely cause them to do things that will give the racist an excuse to put them in greater confinement. That's right. They make up a new law to criminalize black behavior and then put you in jail for it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, I'll fine you. You know, it's that take for instance the no sagging ordinance. Right now, it's just a fine and, you know, and some community service. Well, even if somebody don't pay that, they can put them in, they get warrants. And then that's still really equal to jail. If they can't afford the fines, don't pay the fines, fail to satisfactorily complete the requirements for the community service, then basically it's jail. So, we can all sarcastically give thanks to the black politicians who write these kinds of ordinances that help the white supremacists in, put non-white people in greater confinement.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Let's see. As long as, on page 101, as long as white supremacy exists, avoid speaking and or acting as if any person classified as white is a husband or a wife or a parent to any person who is classified as non-white. His explanation is that in a social material system dominated by white supremacy, racism, no person can function as a husband, a wife, or a parent to any non-white person. In a social material system dominated by white supremacy, all non-white persons are direct or indirect subjects of white supremacy. A system of white supremacy does not permit any non-white person to function as a husband, a wife, or a parent. Also, a system of white supremacy functions in such a manner that any white person who attempts to be a husband, a wife, or a parent to a non-white person cannot do so. That's interesting he said that because I was studying interracial intimacies by Randall Kennedy, whom I was able to interview on the African Conversations broadcast. In that book, there were some debates in the and I think from South Carolina State Legislature back in the 1830s, and they were discussing interracial marriage and land ownership and that sort of thing, which he had got Dr. Kennedy got the records and cited them in his work, but they were talking about how a black person can't be a black man can't be a husband and have a wife as his servant. You know what I'm saying? Because the husband rules over the wife. And so they were saying that's not allowable. They were not tolerating that. And so that doesn't mean black men weren't sexual companions of white women in the antebellum in the United States. You know, a black man could probably be her carriage driver, could be her caretaker, her ranch hand, and he, you know, and be her lover. That probably, I would think that's from what I've seen in those old, you know, in books like Interracial Intimacy, was socially acceptable. Matter of fact, it was that she take certain liberties with him, with the black man, sexually. But he could not function as a husband. That's very, very important. And I would say even today, the black man, I'm sorry, I think I talked too long. Go ahead and give the closing.
It's
too late.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Yeah, they missed it. All right. That today the black man is so impotent politically in every other way. He cannot even be a husband to the black woman. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he cannot, it's not possible. But he cannot, in a sense that he really don't know how. You know, because just don't know what to do. So this is the black man is raised and is taught to function in a system where the black man is powerless. So how can he really be the master of his home, the master of his family? How can he do it? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I know how he can do it. He's going to have to basically work with other black men to create power. And then they have to empower one another, then do it. But they're not going to do that because they've already been thoroughly brainwashed to not do that. So I see what Ms. Fuller's going right here. I just wanted to expound upon that because I think people won't get the gravity of how serious it is for people to be able to function in such a way, especially in a husband capacity in a relationship. That those who attempt to do so, that is become a husband, wife, or parent to a white person, non-white person, attempt to do so become white supremacists in the process of the attempt. They become white supremacists because any attempt by a white person to act as a husband, wife, or parent to a non-white person under a condition dominated by white supremacy only helps to maintain and refine white supremacy. White supremacists can only function as master custodians or other so-called race parents of non-white people. Therefore, simple but important titles such as husband, wife, father, mother, or parent are meaningless. Such titles do not correctly apply to any person who is subject to white supremacy. So, I mean, even though they may carry the title, they're not able to really express the authority of such. I think y'all remember was watching the thing on something. It was a Dateline or something. They had a black man in a restaurant with a little white girl.
Yes.
And people was checking him. It was some white man.
Oh yeah.
When they called the people because and telling them what are you doing with that white girl.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right.
I think they called the police, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Right. And he's sitting up there. They doing socio-psychological experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And they just put out there, well, we just want to make sure everything's okay because that just didn't seem right.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to articulate it, but they Neely Fuller just articulated that to you right in this particular section on page 101.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's in a society of white supremacy. So in order for a non-white person and a white person to function as such, husband, wife, parent, white supremacy has to not exist, or they both must be antagonists to white supremacy. They got to be basically hardcore against white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not very likely. Because these are some very deeply instilled white supremacy, that is. It's a very deeply instilled value and cultural behavior and thought pattern. But if a person to just move to adulthood, think they're going to relate to someone of a hostile or a victim ethnic group, and they're going to be able to just, you know, love themselves through it, is being they're being delusional.
Mm-hmm. Try it.
It's going to take some intense psychotherapy analysis on both of them to get through that. And they got to leave the racist environment for the most part. It's global. Where do you go? Don't go anywhere. Brooklyn? Yeah. from Brooklyn. That's it. Everybody's infected. Everybody's infected with the psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's people gonna try to do it. You know, hope it work out for you. If that's what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm.
But really, at this point, as far along as we are, do you think that it even matters anymore?
I mean,
the whole interracial dating thing, all of that, like, does it even matter, really?
Yeah. I mean, interracial dating is just public. It's basically just coming out of the closet saying, hey, you know.
Because, I mean, it's already that union, that alliance. It's already formed, really.
Right. Yeah, most.
So, like you're saying, that's just a public manifestation of what, you know, is already done. They're doing. So, it's like, really, will it make a difference to say, you know, because there are 1,000 arguments that love is blind, you know, love conquers all, so on and so forth. But really, the mentality is already that the black woman is in bed with the white man and the black man has essentially abandoned his community for the most part.
Yeah, the black man is essentially in bed with both the white man and woman.
And the white woman. Hello. So, like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I'm just, whatever, don't mind me.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the you know, finger wagging. It's like, I think we're beyond that now. It's like, to me, essentially, it's time to choose sides, and they've already done that. And so if you're doing that, then good. You know, like, good for you, and do your thing. Now I know who you are. And to discourage or to have some type of social stigma against that type of behavior shrouds these people.
You know, and I'm glad you mentioned that. There's just a lot of people who aren't dating or married interracially, but they just as easily could be.
Right. Or desire to be.
Yes.
Right.
You know, it's like I see some people who are supposedly dating black. Yeah, we prefer to date white.
Absolutely.
To get the way, listen to or observe the way they're relating to their spouse, that they really are not, they don't really want to do that.
Mm-mm.
Ain't what they want.
Right. And so I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a little bit pessimistic this evening. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. Pessimism is necessary. Yeah.
But you know, love is blind.
See, I knew you was gonna say.
I
love blind, a little blinding, you know.
Blind or blinded, right?
Right.
Whatever. I'm having a whatever moment.
I mean, I don't really go in hard on interracial couples because I see a lot of people who date black. They want to date white.
Right.
And I think they just like to go ahead and get it over with.
I think they should do it because the black men who mistreat the black woman because she's not white enough, just go on and get you one.
Get you one.
And stop all that.
Playing around. You know that's what
you're trying to make her wear her hair a certain way and look a certain way and then all of that. Just go get you one.
And sneaking around.
Go date.
Right. Go date Mandy and just do that.
And
Mandy with the I at the end, not the Y.
The I with the heart over
there. Smiley face over there.
Oh, smiley face, that works, yeah.
Yeah, you know, sneaking around interracial dating sites. You know, they should just go ahead and do it, go on out and just go through it.
Mm-hmm. They don't have to be ashamed.
That's right.
Nobody gonna
do it. And shut up already.
Right, because I see it that once they get into that, then it's going to be a lot more people trying to figure out what's really important to them.
Yeah.
You know? And they're going to get in line and say, hey, you know, you want that, just go ahead and do it. And everybody should just stop playing around and get it on over with. And we can move on about all serious business. But yeah, that's anything else y'all want to say?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, that's it. That was the last point in that chapter. Next week, we'll cover politics and people relations. That's Area 6 of Mr. Neely Fuller's The United Independent Compensatory Co-System Concept, a textbook workbook for thought, speech, and action for victims of racism.
You know, I think you just enjoy saying the title of that book.
Yes, I do. It's a very long title, and I try to speak from memory most times. And I prefer to do that.
You just tickle me every time you run through the title of that book. Oh, my God.
I want to see if I get it right from memory. Sometimes I don't, and I think it's funny.
The title of a book is a challenge. That's not a good thing.
I'm like, ooh, I messed that up that time. Woo.
That was really bad. I left out several words. Okay.
Well, all right. That's it. We'll catch you next week.
All right, holla.
All right. Peace. Shalom.